Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Okay, today's topic is called How Do I Love Thee? Let Me Count the Ways. The many different points of view concerning love vibration depending on the moon-Venus combinations by sign, by house, and by aspect. So if you want to find out why we're all such an incredible bunch of weirdos when it comes to love vibration, you'll hopefully find out today. So that's a good topic for you to record. So scurry over to your tape decks and throw that little puppy tape right in there. Scared you today with the farm report, huh? Well, we could use the same music. Hey, I got a guy out in Orange County that has a 2,500-acre parcel of land who's been offering me a ton of money to buy out the show and make it turn it into the midday farm report on KFOX. And I thought, well, if these people don't want astrology, then we'll talk about horses and pigs for an hour and see what happens. I'll have a great time with that. We'll bring Donald Duck in. A lot of people go, hey, Farley, that might not be a bad idea. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know any farmers right now except for the guy who did Woodstock. He's the only farmer I brought. I'm a farmer. Okay, let's take a look at the moon and Venus. Now, you see, people are so strange. You ever hear that song by The Doors? People are strange. Well, it really is true. And we are so weird that when it comes to love and romance and sex, that you never know what you're going to get into. And would you believe that some people marry people without even looking at their moon or Venus? Okay? So they just blindly marry the person. They don't consider their own moon or Venus. They don't consider their spouse's moon or Venus. And then they end up in a ton of trouble. Nothing's compatible. There's no loving, no hugging, no kissing, no sex after a while. And they go, what happened? Well, you know, it's very important, just like we have to understand the Mars location from yesterday's incredible show, which I listened to and got very excited about. The moon, like Mars rules the energy that makes us go or animates us. The moon rules the entire 100% emotional vibration of what makes us tick. And Venus is actually the most tender part of our natures. Venus will actually alert us to the information that tells us how we love, in which way we love, the type of love that is expressed. And as far as I'm concerned, to understand someone's tenderness factors, if any, then you must understand the moon location by sign and by house, the Venus location by sign and by house. And if you paid attention to yesterday's show, you'll be more aware of hemispheric proportions in the chart, meaning that people that have planets below the horizon in houses 1 through 6 are not going to be as aware, typically, as evolved, typically as awake or as mature as the rest of us right now. I'm a cross between a total baby and a mature adult because I have Scorpio moon in the first house with 4 squares on it and then something like 8 planets above the horizon in the 9th, 10th, and 12th house. So I can either be the most mature adult in the history of the world or the biggest baby. So, you know, we get all kinds of combinations involved with understanding that. And of course, if you end up with someone that has all their planets below the horizon, then they may need a little therapy in order to get in touch with exactly where they are, who they are, where they're going and such. So 1 or 2 planets above the horizon does in fact help. And that, you know, it helps you understand that frankly people with all their planets above the horizon are going to have an edge when it comes to growing up quicker and assuming responsibility for one's life and not being as insecure because they're not wasting as much time on themselves or their childhood or their problems. They are ready to tackle life and relationships and love and sex and philosophy and travel and romance and all those things that are above the horizon. So that's point number one and point number two. Now, because Farley is the main guinea pig on this show, the only one, and I'm talking like I'm not Farley, right? Figure that out. Well, because Farley is the main guinea pig, Venus in his chart is in the 9th house, which shows a very evolved, philosophical, intelligent, independent, jovial, fun-loving kind of guy. You know, I have Venus conjunct Uranus, both in different signs, Uranus in Gemini, Venus in Cancer, you know, get a little complicated here. So we have a combination of Venusian attributes, Venus square Neptune, and Uranus sextile Saturn. Saturn. So the Venus part is all interesting because it's all above the line, above the horizon. And that means overall, when I approach women in first meeting our relationships, I seem to be a pretty all right guy, pretty normal and mature and fun and happy and travel oriented. Then you get to know me. When you get to know me, when you get to know anyone, you always get to know their planets below the horizon. And having Moon in Scorpio in the first house with four squares on it, obviously we realize that, you know, a book is not always what the cover reflects it to be. So, you know, my Moon-Venus combination reflects a combination of a funny philosopher from the Venus in the ninth house, conjunct Uranus and all that goodies, and also the Moon in the first house is the total oversensitive baby, you know, that I can react back to. So obviously, for my relationships to be successful, you got to love the adult and you got to love the baby in me. So that's my Moon Venus combination, and it's very important to understand. See, because the Moon is so obvious in the chart. As far as any other planets are concerned, the Moon will tell us so much about overall emotions that whatever it is, whether you can cry or laugh, happiness and sadness, handling depression or stress, being able to nurture or be nurtured, or being able to love or be loved, or all the things that the Moon will tell us. And if you consider, you know, that there's 12 Moon signs, Aries through Pisces, okay, you know, you can be, no matter what your sun sign is, the Moon will go through all 12 signs of the zodiac, any one sun cycle, okay? But there's 12 signs of the zodiac the Moon can be in. There's also 12 houses that the Moon can be in. And from what I remember, 12 times 12 is 144 different types of moons that are possible. And, you know, out of that, we're going to get about 72 real solid babies, you know, in the group. So, you know, the question is, well, if I'm a baby, do I hang out with another person that's a baby, or do I want to hang out with a mature adult? Well, the question is, can the adult handle the baby that you are? You know, so all the people now that are below the horizon moons, and the closer you are to the first house, of course, the bigger the baby you can be. But the people that are now above the horizon moons, you know, we're proud of you, and we think you really have it together, of course. You might have Moon in the 10th and be real emotionally strong in career, and then have Venus in the 1st and still be a baby. So any first house, second house, or third house planets qualify for total immaturism possible at any given moment. But anyway, some people go, well, I'm mature because I have all these planets upstairs, you know. Well, you rarely find people with all their planets above the horizon. So still, you know, so we got that. We got 144 different types of emotional possibilities, like Moon and Aries in the first house, Moon and Aries in the second house, Moon and Aries in the third house, all the way to 12, and Moon and Taurus in the first house and all the way to 12. So we get 12 times 12 there. Now we talk about Venus, okay? And we have 12 possible Venus signs too. Venus and Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. And then the 12 houses. So we have 144 different types of emotional types, half being total babies, and 144 possible type of love factor involved. Okay, meaning the Venus, and half of them are babies. Okay, so what we've got here is we got some real problems in trying to get along with each other, because we have 288 factors to be aware of when we are considering love vibration in relationships. And you wonder why it's hard to find a virgin right now, male or female, you know, over 20 years old. Because people, you know, the more aware we get and the more conscious and intelligent we get, and the more the Aquarian effect occurs around us, and as hot as karma is running, the tradition is now trashed, and the culture is trashed, and the ethics are all trashed, you know, and you have a bunch of people out there running around like chickens with their heads cut off, like there's a deadline. Oh, I gotta have a baby before I'm 30, or oh, I've gotta get married before I'm 31, you know, oh, I gotta do, you know. Meanwhile, most of the guys that are meeting most of the girls have been with, 5 times 5, relationships, so 50 times 50, and, it's a problem. You go up to your mother and say, well, I'm dating someone. She goes, oh, how many men has she been with? Oh, about 40. Oh, really? That's, sounds like a real fun relationship there, Farley. Where'd you meet her at? New Orleans, you know. But anyway, you know, this is like normal. You know, back in 1920, 1930, you meet people and, you know, hopefully they would not have much experience. You know, maybe your mother dated your father for 4 or 5 years before they had sex. Then they got married. It was a virgin marriage and everything was okay. They've been married 50 years. There's a reason why they've been married 50 years, see, because there was like a pure foundation at that relationship. And everyone, today has been tainted because we become a lot more aware. Instead of having what you call patience and acceptance and cooperation, we are much more aware of the 144 different types of emotions we all share and 144 different types of love vibrations. And we don't have patience to put up with people. You know, if they burn us or if they hurt us, we're ready to bail out or cop out. Or because we've been with so many partners, we're real quick to judge and be prejudiced or be comparison. You know, like, well, you were better than this person here, but in person number 40, you weren't as good as them. In person number 27, they were better than you. You know, so trying to get married and be happy is like winning a lotto, you know. So it gets to be pretty ridiculous and complicated. And then you throw in the aspects. Then all the karma comes into it, right? Besides having 144 different types of moons, and every one of those moons can be trined and beautifully blessed or sextiled, or every one of those moons can be totally thrashed and opposed and afflicted and stressed out with squares, right? Same with Venus. You know, you can have 144 balanced Venuses or 144 thrashed, karmic, ridiculous, insecure, stressed out Venuses with squares and oppositions. So love and romance gets pretty complicated. It makes you wonder. You know, it's like, you know, it's like you say to yourself, well, if you're going to play the game of relationships, then make a rule for yourself. You know, like, I'm not going to go out with this person unless I give myself 1 year to see if I can't get something going with that person. 1 year. For better or for worse, I'm going to stick it out. No more of this 2 week, 3 week, 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, 9 months stuff. You know, I'm going to try and do it for a whole 12-month period and see what happens. You know, that way, if you live to be 60, well, then you've been with 60 partners, one per year. You know, of course, if you started when you were a baby, but hopefully you didn't. But still, at the same time, you know, you got to be aware that if you don't regulate your relationship somehow, that by the time you are 30 or 40, you might feel a little sleazy and you might not feel as worthy to be with anyone because you've had so many lovers that it's like when you try to be truthful with your new relationship, they go, you've been with how many women? 270? No, they're going, well, maybe about 200 instead, you know, and right away they start wondering what planet you came from. But, you know, welcome to California. That's what reality is all about, unless you're a Mormon or you're an Ashram, you know, somebody that's from another planet. Hare Krishna, most of these people have really done some partying in their lives. So, you know, what we have to consider when we look at this this love factor is understand that each sign is so different that it is really like from a different planet, okay? And each house is so different that it really also is like from another planet, okay? And love factor stuff is very complicated, okay? Because you have to understand two major things. Number one, you have to understand what your qualities are, okay? In other words, you have to understand what kind of vehicle do you reflect, okay? Is your moon in Aquarius? Is it in the fourth house? Okay, on one sense, the Aquarius moon is basically intelligent, but the fourth house makes you a baby, you know, because you're back down to below the horizon, emotional problems from the fourth house energies, and too tied to your, maybe your home or your security or your past or whatever, and you have an opposition to Pluto on top of it in Leo, you know. So, you know, you could have a little emotional problem here. And that's from just knowing the Aquarius moon. And let's say on top of that, you have Venus in Scorpio, and it's over there in the 10th house. And that's trined Jupiter in Cancer. So you have no, as a man with an Aquarius moon Pluto opposition, right, you have no end of all these women that are coming into your life from the Jupiter trine Venus. So you're one of those guys that can set up a penguin would take a number and next, you know, one of that. And then every time they plug into your moon opposed Pluto, it's like, get out of here. You're a weirdo. You know, you were good looking and attractive and you pump iron and all that stuff. But in the long result, you're a jerk. You emotionally don't care about me. You're cold. You throw me away like I'm trash after you use me. So, you know, you have to be aware of vehicle. You know, like I know, see, I know what I am. I know I have my squares on my moon in a water sign Scorpio and my square on my Venus in a water sign Cancer. So I know I'm vulnerable and sensitive and hopelessly romantic and hopelessly passionate and all those things that go overboard with water. So I know what I am, and I know I have my emotional problems and my moods, and I know that I can be pushed to heavy anger, so I have to be cautious with that and patient with that, and it's better to keep Farley laughing and nurturing and calm and serene. So I understand my vehicle. See, that's number one. So you have to understand your vehicle to try to figure out what type of emotional love factor you are. And that way, when people meet you, And they wonder why you're already touchy-feely and you haven't even met them for more than an hour. It's because you want a mommy. You know, you want to be nurtured and pampered right off the bat. You can't wait 5-6 dates. You want to be cuddled and stuff. So I know I have that. You know, I meet some of these people out there with Mars in Virgo and with Moon in Sagittarius. And right away they need 10 months to get to know me. And I'm like, I need a mother. You know, so you understand your vehicle right off the bat. Now that's number one. So research your vehicle. See what type of person you are as far as emotional needs and love factors, because the moon will tell you where it's located by sign, house, and aspect, how you feel and how you feel about yourself, okay? And Venus will tell you what your qualifications are or what your love vibration is as far as accepting and projecting it are concerned. So the moon is how you feel and Venus is the love vibration, okay? So that's one thing. Number two, you have to be able to know how to compare what the other person that you meet is going to have as far as supporting this stuff. See, obviously, if you know your elements, fire, earth, air, and water, number one, if you know your elements with Moon, Venus, then you're on your way. That's part one. But number two, if you know the difference between the horizons, you know, like upstairs or downstairs, that will help too, because I'm an upstairs Venus and a downstairs moon. I usually need a woman who's an upstairs moon and a downstairs Venus, so there's some kind of communion there. I'm also lucky because my moon Venus are in similar elements. They're not trying each other, but they're both water. See, some of us goofballs out there have moon and air and Venus and earth, you know, are something that doesn't mix, right? See, like if you have like moon and fire and Venus and water, you know, it's like, congratulations, you're a total weirdo and we should mark you with a big red splotch so we can see you coming, right? But you see, so you gotta know the upstairs, downstairs, and the fire, earth, air, and water. And then if you have some basic compatibility within yourself, then you know that potentially you can do okay in a relationship. So Farley's water. So what do I need? Well, I need somebody upstairs, downstairs that's water like me. So that's why some of my better relationships have been with people that have Moon, Venus in two water signs, hopefully complementing my Moon, Venus in water signs, and upstairs, downstairs, so we can both be babies and adults together, okay? Now what happens is if you do have, see, the fire signs, in case you don't know, are Aries, Leo, and Sag, and they all blend beautifully. You know, fire's blaze, forest fire, you know, fire signs in astrology, forest fires are what you want. You know, and the water signs of Cancer, Pisces, and Scorpio, we love floods. We love the water when they're all together, and they work well. And the air signs of Aquarius, Libra, and Gemini, you know, lots of talking and lots of communication, and that works well. So the air signs are a nice family group. And then the earth signs of Virgo, Taurus, and Capricorn, they do work well. They actually work well. You know, they work. They're workers. Okay, so the earth blends well. So lots of that. So if you, like I say, if you are lucky to know that your moon Venus is in a similar element, you know, like fire, earth, air, water, that means you're more balanced for relationships. So your vehicle is improved. So that's number one. Even though they could be totally obliterated like mine, I still have the same elements. So I'm a watery type of guy. I'm a romantic, gushy, smushy, smoochy, schmoozer type guy, right? Okay, but if you are somebody that has a strange mix, like Moon in Virgo and Venus in Aquarius, the question is, you might not know how you feel. You might spend your whole life trying to figure out emotions and love vibrations. And then, somebody said, I do have a Virgo Moon with Venus in Aquarius, Farley, and I am going to see my therapist in about an hour or something like that. But, you know, you may have a Moon in Capricorn and Venus in Libra, you know, square each other, you know, and the Moon Venus square are oppose each other in the chart, look out. Major red flag for the bull when you have Moon Venus in stress to each other, because this person has done some thrashing in past lives, so they wish to be thrashed upon in this life. And they're the ones that attract the real demons in relationships. They're like, I'm going to pick somebody that's just going to, you know, wake up in the morning with a pump shotgun and go, Farley, come over here, buddy. Did you see fatal attraction? What do you got? Moon opposed Venus? That's right. I saw it. I did see it. Okay. But anyway, you will find that people that have a strange mix of the moon and Venus could have a problem. So like my mother, okay, let's give some examples here. My mother has a Gemini moon and Venus in Aquarius, air, okay? So that's cool, and she's a good vehicle. Now, my dad, on the other hand, has a Pisces moon with Venus in Gemini, and they square each other, okay? So my dad does not have, my mom's like an in-house marriage counselor, and my dad is like the patient, you know, the person that definitely need, there's been an interesting change going on throughout their lives. But the thing is that, so you have a woman that's got an air moon Venus, and then a man that's got an air water moon Venus, and it works because dad's air, dad's got Venus in Gemini on mom's moon in Gemini, and dad's Venus in Gemini is trine mom's Venus in Aquarius. So you get the lovebird thing enough to hold the marriage on for 50 years. See? So you're looking for some kind of element, complement when you're looking for relationships, right? If you can find the fire, earth, air, water complement, then that'll help. You know, if you're an air, if you're like an air fire moon Venus, and you find another air fire that stresses out your moon Venus, squares it or opposes it, that's karma. That's when you know that somebody is about to be thrashed. And all these people, I've been married 12 years and we got squares and oppositions to our moon Venus. Maybe I should get a divorce. Well, you know, if the oneness of God will overcome all, you know, like if you have power and if you have spirit and if your expectations are low, then you won't be disappointed. But if you don't have power and if you don't have spirit and you have high expectations, then there's going to be thrashing and you're going to be thrashed. Basic law, basic rule. So no matter how bad the astrology effect is, love conquers all because love is God, okay? And God is love, okay? And Hare Krishna to you too.